you've been with us the last two or three weeks, we've been doing this series on building. And, you know, it's kind of cool because we are doing a lot of building here with our actual church building. I mean, that wall is really looking cool. It's looking good. Soon we're going to have an awesome lobby out there. It's starting to come together. But we're not just talking about building the actual building, but we've been talking about building the church. Steve's been talking about how we are to live missionally, and he's been using language of embodying the gospel, how we are to embody the gospel, and meaning that we're to live as Jesus and to show people the good news, to show people Christ's sacrifice, his love, and we're to embody that. And today I wanted to expand a little bit more on that, and specifically, this is what I want to focus on for our time this morning is this. If we are to embody the gospel, we need to be potent and have proximity. So as Steve has mentored me in kind of speaking and preaching, he talks about the importance of repetition. So I just want to say that one more time. So this is what I want to focus on today. If we are to embody the gospel, we need to be potent and have proximity, both personally and as the church body. And I want to explain a little bit more what I mean by being potent and having proximity. And I want to look at some scripture as we talk about that today. So if you have your Bible or if you want to look up on the screen, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. We're actually just going to look at a couple of verses this morning. And it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. And it says, Jesus says this. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world." So here we see, Steve actually brought up this verse last week. We see Jesus saying to his followers that, hey, you guys are the salt of the earth. That's how he refers to his followers. And that's kind of why we started off this service talking about your favorite condiments. I don't know what your favorite condiments are. Maybe it's ketchup, or someone said ranch. I think my wife's and mine is probably Parmesan cheese. We love that. But anyways, Jesus refers to us as the salt of the earth. And I just want to say something before we dive into even being potent and having proximity. I think these verses, for me personally, are super challenging. They've always been for me. Sometimes I look at these verses and I start thinking, man, Jesus, why did you have to say this? Because this is kind of hard. Because when I think about it, and I think about being a follower of Jesus, and I look at these verses being the salt of the earth, and then Jesus says that, hey, he says, if salt has lost its taste, how shall it be restored? And then after that, he says, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And I think as a follower of Jesus, when I read that, I think, man, the last thing that I want to be is this tasteless, ineffective salt that, you know, just is no good and is gets trampled under people's feet because I'm not salty enough, you know, I'm not tasteful. I've lost my taste as a follower of Jesus. And I kind of think that's probably what you guys would think too as followers of Jesus. Like, we don't want to be tasteless, you know, followers that we don't have flavor. And the same as like our church body, right? Man, I don't think any of us would want that. Yesterday even, so as Emma and I went to McDonald's to get some fries. And you know, when I eat McDonald's fries, I start thinking, yeah, these are going to be good because usually they're pretty salty, right? But this batch we actually had yesterday was a little bland. And it left me kind of thinking, oh, man, like, I wish there was more salt to it, more flavor. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today as us, as followers of Jesus, if we're to embody the gospel, who Jesus is, we need to have flavor. And specifically, we need to be potent, and we need to have proximity. As I was meeting with Steve, our head pastor, earlier, he suggested this book called Becoming a Contagious Christian. That's what it's called. And it's by Bill Hybels. And he actually talks about this passage from Matthew. And he actually makes an observation about salt. That's where I'm pulling these potent and proximity terms from. He says that in order for salt to be effective, it needs to do two things. It needs to be potent and it needs to have proximity. So it needs to have taste, it needs to have flavor, it needs to have zing. And then it needs to have proximity, meaning it needs to be close to whatever it is to have an effect. So if you're thinking about food, it needs to be like on the food, you know? So that's what I want to look at today, is as followers of Jesus, as we embody the gospel, we need to be potent and have proximity. And starting as we look at being potent, I found myself asking, what do Christians with flavor really look like? You know, so if we're embodying the gospel, if we're following Jesus, what do Christians with flavor look like? And so this isn't going to be, I don't think, a surprise to any of you guys what I'm about to say next. I don't think it would be. I really believe that Christians with flavor are going to be living out the words of this book. And that's probably not a surprise to any of you guys that I would say. It's so basic, right? But I wanted to share with you something that I actually found a little bit disturbing, actually. This is, as I read this book earlier this week, this is a book called With, and it's by Sky Jathani. It's a really cool name. But he talks about how he's leading this this class at his church, and it's about the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, what we're reading right now out of Matthew is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And if you're unfamiliar, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about a lot of different things like anger, retaliation, lust, anxiety. And he talks about how we're supposed to live out our lives. And so this author is doing this class about the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to share with you guys the reaction to some of the people, or that some of the people in the church had as he talks about the Sermon on the Mount. So this is what he says. A few years ago, I taught a class at my church about the Sermon on the Mount. On the first day, after reading the sermon aloud together, I asked the 30 adults in the class a simple question. Do you think Jesus was serious? Do you believe he actually expects us to live the way described in this sermon? With a show of hands, nearly everyone voted no. They did not think Jesus was serious. Why not? I asked. It's just not possible to live that way, said one woman. No one can really love his enemy or give that generously. Jesus was exaggerating to make a point. It's unrealistic, another man said. This world is going to walk all over someone who lives like that. The comments continued along these lines for the remainder of the hour. Words like unrealistic, impossible, and foolish were frequently used to describe Jesus' teaching. And then a little later on, he says, it struck me how inconsistent these Christians were. Most of them lifelong churchgoers, on dismissing the commands of Jesus, even when he concluded the sermon by warning his listeners about the dangers of not obeying his teaching. So, man, I don't know what your reaction is to that, but when I first read that, I was kind of like, man, what are these people thinking? Like, they're just disregarding what Jesus is saying. But then as I thought a little more, I started thinking, well, I wonder if I were in that Sunday school class. I'm not sure if it was Sunday school class, but it was a class at his church. I started thinking, man, what would I say if he were to ask me that question about living out all the things that Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount? And then it actually led me to thinking, what did Jesus say? It actually made me go back and look at Matthew, and I was like, what is Jesus saying in here that is so crazy to be living out? And I wanted to just share real briefly some scripture from there that as I went back, it really hit me. As I thought about living this out and being a potent, you know, flavorful Christian, I was looking at what Jesus said, and this hit me, and I wanted to share this with you guys. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. Look at what Jesus says. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." And man, as I read that passage, I started thinking, yeah, this is so true. If we are to be potent, flavorful Christians, it would make such a difference if we really are living these things out. People are going to notice that, and we're not just going to look like the rest of the world. And if I'm being honest, as I read through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, I know that I'm not living some of these things out all the time. I think, just to be transparent with you guys, the verse that struck me the most out of this was probably the end, verse 42. He says, "Give to the one who begs from you. Do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." I think just to share personally, something that God's been working on my heart in is giving, and specifically to people who will, you know, come up to you on the street and ask you for money. I think over the last couple of years, God's been working in my own heart about this. And somewhere along the way, I think I was told that anyone who comes up to you on the street and is asking you for money, you shouldn't give money to them because they already misuse their money on drugs and alcohol. And although maybe it's somewhere, something like that is true, I think because of that, my heart's just gotten hard towards anyone who would come up to me like that. And man, as I read this, it says, give to the one who begs from you. You know, Jesus doesn't say, give to the one who begs to you, who hasn't already spent their money on drugs or alcohol. He said, give to the one who begs from you. And anyways, that's something that God's been working on my heart in, and something that, I really want to live out more. And I want to live potently. I want to live flavorfully. And I wonder, as you guys think about living out these words, how are you guys doing? How are you guys doing in that? As you think about your own life, living out the words of Christ. Because it's going to make a big difference between being flavorful or looking like the rest of the world. And then secondly, not only as we look at ourselves, but as we look at our church body, man, how are we doing as a church in living flavorfully and potently? Before we go on to talking about proximity, man, I do think living out the words of Christ is going to be really stretching for all of us. And how many of us really like to stretch here, you know? Okay, we got one guy, gymnast. I don't know, but like I don't know about you guys, but I don't love stretching because like it hurts in the moment, and it hurts like the next day and maybe the next day after. But man, I think if we're really to live these things out, I think we are going to be stretched, and Jesus is going to stretch us But it's going to make a huge difference. If we do embody the gospel, we are going to be stretched, and we need to look, we need to be potent in who we are. And secondly, if we are to embody the gospel, we not only need to be potent and flavorful, but we also need to have proximity. I love this quote. This is by, I'm not sure if you pronounce it Pippert or Pipert. I actually like Pipert better, but Becky Pipert wrote, unless salt gets poured out of the shaker, it remains a mere table ornament. I really like that, and I actually brought a prop to show this. Actually brought our salt shaker from home. It's pretty nice. This is M&I's first salt shaker. It's a little corroded because our apartment was kind of humid. We didn't have an AC unit for a year, but it's still usable. It still looks pretty good. And I really love, what this person says about, unless salt gets poured out of the shaker, it remains a mere table ornament. So if we, basically what he's saying is, or what she's saying, if we can be as potent, you know, this salt is salty, but if it never gets poured out, it's not going to do anything. And so I actually brought, so here's the salt. I actually brought these paper plates. I'm actually gonna lay them out here. And I was going to bring real dishes, but I didn't know how that would go up here. But if you think about, imagine there's food on this plate. I don't know if you guys have watched Hook or Peter Pan, but you have to like imagine food. You know, the only way that the salt is going to get to the food is if it goes over here. And simple, right? But you know, if Jesus is comparing us to the salt, we need to be where the people are or where the problems are, and otherwise we could be as potent as we want, but like this person says, it's just a table decoration if it doesn't do anything. If you want to take this analogy even further, if we're this salt shaker, if you think about it, that's not going to do anything on its own either. It's just going to sit there. And you know, as Christians, we do have the Holy Spirit. So if you wanted to say that my hand is the Holy Spirit, we really have to be in tune and walking with the Spirit in order to make an impact on people or whatever this issue or whatever this problem may be. Otherwise, we are just this ornament. And I think I wanted to share a practical example of this with you guys. A few years ago, maybe 4 years ago now, as I was interning with Campus Crusade for Christ, now known as CRU, I found myself in this coffee shop right off of campus, and I was sitting, and this is funny, so I was sitting at this coffee shop by myself. I was actually spending some time in the Word, you know, and I saw this group of college students come in and sit at another table. And believe it or not, I actually started, I was reading this passage, or not that quote, the passage from Matthew 5 on how you are the salt of the earth. And it says, you know, if salt has lost its taste, it's no good but to get trampled on. And as I'm sitting in this coffee shop, I was reading this passage, and I was looking at these college students, and I was thinking, wow, this is what God has called me here to do. I'm an intern with CRU to reach college students, and I sat there for about a half an hour looking at these students thinking, man, I think I need to go and start a conversation with them, and I don't know what that would look like. It'd be awkward and weird, but man, I don't want to be salt that has lost its taste, and I don't want to be salt that like is no good, You know, and so after about a half an hour of reading this verse over and over, and it says, you know, you're the light of the world, a city on the hill that cannot be hidden. And I'm sitting at this coffee table, just kind of scared of like talking to these people. I finally got up out of my seat and started this conversation with this group of girls. So that was even more intimidating. But then I started this conversation, and it was actually really, really amazing. We actually started talking about the Bible and had a short conversation about the validity of Scripture. And it was really cool. I wonder if I would have gotten up and started talking to them right away. Maybe I could have gotten to share the whole gospel with them. I don't know. But, man, that was just an example of my life of when I felt like I was this shaker. And here were the people. And, man, I needed to be in proximity with these people in order to have an effect, just like salt needs to be close to the food to have a taste. And I think if we think about our church body, think about this, even this salt shaker being even this building, how tragic would it be if all that our church, church body, church building, were just this? What if we were only Sunday service and only a weekly Bible study, and we're missing us as the church, as us all together, we're missing this, and how many other people or problems, even in the city of Fond du Lac, are we missing as a church if we're not in proximity with them? And it leads me to ask you guys, and I've been asking these questions myself. I know Steve, our head pastor, has been asking these questions as well. As a church collectively, what are the areas of the city that we need to have better proximity to? What are these, who are these people, or what are these problems or needs of the city that we need to be in better proximity to as a church body, that we can show the gospel to, that we can embody the gospel to? I love this question that I want you guys to think about. If Jesus came to Fond du Lac, where would he go first? Like, where would he actually go in the city? If he were here today, where would he be? And so, as I invite the band out, I'd like to end just this time with a challenge for all of you guys. In regards to living potently, living flavorfully, and in regards to being in proximity, here's the challenge, a couple of things. If we're to embody the gospel, we need to be potent and to have proximity. And you kind of see on the screen, I think I split them into two different things. But, man, I want to challenge you guys to read through Matthew chapters 5 and 7 and to even ask God to show you what he wants to change in you as you read through these things. Man, I know as I did, there's a lot of things that God is working on my heart in, and I want to challenge you guys to do the same. And secondly, as we think about proximity, both personally and as a church, ask this, and maybe we all come up with different things, but man, these are areas we need to be. And so, if Jesus came to Fond du Lac, where would he go? Where would he be? I'm gonna close this in prayer. Lord Jesus, I just want to ask that you would lead us, Lord. I pray that you would help us to be potent, to be flavorful followers of you. And I ask that you would lead us in where you want us to go, what you want us to do, as both personally and as a church, Lord. I ask that you'd give us wisdom in all this. I pray now that you continue to lead us as we worship you this morning. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.